I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, this is Jason Jackson, the television host and courtside reporter for the three-time NBA champion Miami Heat. Like me, you're listening to the Chick Brown Show.
Got screwed by the refs. This is the Jake Brown Show, CBS Radio's Radio.com Podcast Network. You can find us on iTunes. Rate us 5 stars. Write a review while you're at it on the podcast section of your iPhone, or head to iTunes, search the Jake Brown Show and find us there. Or get us on Spotify in the podcast section on Spotify as well. At Jake Brown Radio on Twitter. You follow the show at Jake Brown Show. Pat Antonetti behind the boards. The NBA season is underway tonight. The Cavs and the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals rematch, and possibly a Western Conference Final preview as the Warriors and the Rockets face off in the NBA season opener. Doubleheader tonight. And this week, coming up on the show, joining us later in this program will be the Miami Heat TV host, courtside reporter, been there for a while, over a decade, Jason Jackson at The Jack Show on Twitter, to preview the season, to talk about the Heat, as the Heat had a great second half last year. Will they carry it over in a week, the Western Conference? Will they have a shot to maybe enter the top five? I have them a little close to there, and I'll give you my predictions a little later on, but he'll join us. And then later this week, Mike Carney, former Pro Bowl fullback, all-pro fullback, a lost position in the NFL, will join us. And also, Randy McMichael, the former tight end, calls himself the greatest tight end in Miami Dolphins history. And when you think about it, he's probably right. You look at his stats in Miami, and he was pretty good. He had 1 year, 73 catches. So it's not far-fetched to think that McMichael is the best tight end in Dolphins history. They haven't had a ton of good ones. So he might be the guy. He'll join us, and Mike Carney. I said freestyle on the Facebook Live. I didn't end up freestyling. That B ended up being terrible, so we're not going to freestyle. But the Jets were royally screwed, and you could maybe look at a rule. You could look at maybe the rule book that he did fumble at one point. He ended in the pylon with the ball in his hands. That is not a fumble. And if there's a technicality there, it's a bunch of BS. You cannot look at the replay and overturn the original call of touchdown there. If the original call was touchback, it's different. But when the original call was a touchdown, there just was not enough evidence to say that that was a fumble in the end zone, Patriots ball. I mean, just absolutely ludicrous that they overturned that. I was shocked. I was on the road back from Virginia, where I somehow left my bag and suit there because I didn't put it in my brother's car. One of the dumbest things ever. I mean, just stupidity on my part. But not as stupid as the refs. And of course, it happens against the Patriots. Of course, it's the Patriots being the beneficiary. I'm not going to say it's cheating and screwed, but that is just that kind of call would only happen favoring the Patriots. And even Pats fans are thinking, yeah, you guys got screwed. Not saying the Jets would have won the game if that didn't happen, but think about it. They were down 10. That touchdown should have been touchdown. Would have made it a 3-point game. The Jets would get the ball back and tack on a field goal. That field goal could have ended up tying the game. And then who knows? Maybe they win in overtime. Maybe it keeps going. Who knows what happens? But it changed the complexion of the game. It changed everything about the game. And the Jets did not really have a shot after that. They drove down the field, tried to make it interesting. McCown, you got to credit him, has been solid and has been healthy all year. He's been playing. But the Jets just got a bad shake there. I mean, just really bad how that worked out. It's unfortunate because you think about it, and if everything goes the Jets' way there, maybe they win that game and they're 4-2. And I think we're going to start to see the Jets come back down to earth here coming up. They'll face the Dolphins, who we talked about with Randy McMichael, are shocking the world after beating the Falcons. They are 3-2. They'll face the Dolphins on the road, and then Falcons, Bills, Bucks, Panthers, Chiefs, Broncos, Saints, Chargers, Patriots. The road does not get any easier for the Jets. The winnable games you look at are probably Dolphins, Bucks, Chargers, and even those are toss-ups. When you look at the Jets' remaining schedule, you can see them now going a potential 4-12. Maybe they win one more, but if the Jets play like the team that they are on paper, you can see a 4-12 season here. A lot of people projected, I think I said either 2-14 or 3-13. You can see 3-13, them losing out, potentially happening. But they were close. They were close against the Pats. They weren't close against the Raiders. They were okay against the Bills. And they won three straight against the Dolphins, Jags, and Browns. So maybe they do beat the Dolphins. Maybe they are 4-3. But I think we're going to see them come down to earth. Although they have surprised us all. They really have. And the Giants shocked us all as well. They beat the Broncos on the road, and they did it handily with Eli Manning. Didn't even play that great, but their defense was amazing. Giants' defense was really good. Orleans Darko, who I picked up after I dropped Shane Vereen in one of my leagues, was really good. His best game. And the Giants are in the winning column without any receivers. Their top four receivers were out, three of them out for the season. Sterling Shepard should be back soon. But the Giants said, hey, guys, we're going to not only cover that 13-point spread that everyone betted on the Denver Broncos, we're going to win the game. I would have not took the bet. I would not have said, listen, I don't like 13-point spreads. I hate them, actually. But, or double-digit spreads in general. I would not have took it anyway, but if you're a gambler, you say, you know what? The Broncos are going to crush the Giants. The Giants are going to get blown out of the water, and they go win. Doesn't mean much. Doesn't mean they're going to now go on a huge run, but it's nice to see them get in the winning column in a tough game that you would never expect them to win. But the Jets, as I was saying, Austin Seferian-Jenkins lost the ball, got it back, gets in the end zone. I understand the rule, but I don't see how the rule applies considering he regained possession when he fell. There just wasn't enough evidence for them to make that call. My God, that's as bad as it gets. I mean, the replacement refs could have done a better job with that. RIP to the replacement refs. Pats are 4-2, and they got a little lucky, but they pulled it off. And Brady was good, Gronk was good, and Pat's going to Pat. And it wasn't surprising to see them winning it in the least bit, even if it took a bad call. It was surprising to see Derrick Henry change odds and change fantasy teams with a 75-yard run for a touchdown to end the game, basically, last night. In a 7-point game, spread, I think, was 7.5. The Titans get a touchdown from Henry. Got my brother to win in his fantasy league. Needed a Henry touchdown to prevail, and he got it on a ridiculous run. And Henry finished with a nice line of 19 for 131 and a touchdown. Mariota came alive in the third and fourth quarter. He finally came alive after it was a field goal fest. Field goal after field goal, five field goals, and then finally they said, hey, we got two touchdowns, and then they get the garbage time touchdown to win 36-22. And now the Titans are 3-3. And you knew they would win that. I think the Colts looked solid. Jacoby Brissett has proven that he can be a starting NFL quarterback. Doesn't have a ton of talent around him, but he's proven that he's a solid player. But I think the Colts are thinking, we'd love Andrew Luck to come back when the AFC South is the leaders are 3-3. Titans 3-3, Texans 3-3, Jaguars 3-3. So they're thinking to themselves, if we could get Andrew Luck back, we're not even out of it, because the winner of this division might be 8 games. Switching over to baseball, the New York Yankees win 8-1, and they are still alive. And you knew if the Yankees were going to get it done, it was going to be Game 3, it was going to be Game 4. Facing McCullers today, facing Morton yesterday. Now is the Yankees' chance to get back in this series, and their bats came to life last night. They got to Morton early, made it 4-0, and then Judge put the dagger in it. It was 5-0 after the wild pitch, and then Judge said good night to Houston. And that was it, 8-0. And then they go on to win 8-1 as Dellin Betances' struggles continue with his command in the ninth inning. And he might not see another game in these playoffs the way Dellin Betances has pitched for the Yankees. It's almost like it's nips like Rick Ankiel had. He just cannot throw strikes. And you got to be worried about Betances if you're a Yankee fan, considering you pay him and he's supposed to be your closer, setup man, and he's neither. He's now a guy you bring in garbage time. It's a blowout. We got horns honking nonstop outside right now. My goodness. Welcome to New York City. But the Yankees' bats did what they needed to do. And we knew Keuchel and Verlander would present them with challenges. And they did. And Keuchel has a .8 ERA against the Yankees. They're going to have to face him in Game 5 and Verlander for Game 6. So if the Yankees want a shot here, this is a must-win game tonight. You lose tonight, you're forced to beat both Keuchel and Verlander. You win tonight, you can afford a loss to one of the two. You could afford to lose Game 5 in the Bronx, and then you got to win 2 on the road. You win against Verlander, and then you win against who? I guess it's all arms on deck. Maybe it's Morton for a couple innings. You're going to see Peacock maybe for Game 7. I mean, I do think, though, that the Astros should throw out Keuchel and Verlander 5 and 6 just because they should try and win this thing at 6. I do agree with that strategy. You can argue me and say maybe save them for a potential 6-7 at home, but I think Keuchel is good enough where he should pitch Game 5 in the Bronx and try to take the Yankees out of this series or maybe end it. So this is big today. This is it. You got to beat McCullers. And Sonny Gray, you bring this guy in for one big reason, to win in October. He's been there before. He's been very inconsistent with the Yankees, but Sonny Gray has to instill himself in pinstripes with the Yankees tonight. You got him to be a guy in October. You weren't sure what you were going to get out of Severino. You weren't sure if CC would be a shell of himself. CC Sabathia, in my opinion, has been so underappreciated with the Yankees. And he obviously signed a big deal, and most guys don't live up to big contracts. But I think Sabathia has lived up to it. He has pitched big in October. And I know last night was the only October game he's had a shutout. He gave up 0 runs. But I think he's been big for the Yankees in big moments. And he had a really good season this year. And I think Sabathia has earned that paycheck and that big contract with the Yankees. And I know the problems he had with alcoholism and all that. But he's overcome that. And he's come back and been terrific for the Yankees. He has been huge for this team this year. Huge. Huge. Look at his numbers this year. What was it, like 15-5? The guy's 38 years old. Sabathia has just been monumental for the Yankees. And if he can somehow lead this team here, speaking of monumental, you could see him in Monument Park. A bit of a stretch, but the guy is on the cusp of Hall of Fame. I don't know if he's there yet, But the 250 is the new 300 in baseball. 250 wins is the new 300. With the way guys just aren't pitching as long and bullpens blow it and bullpens becoming more important, winning game 250 is now the new 300 in this era. And CC is another year or two away from being a Hall of Famer. It's weird saying that because you think of him as a really good pitcher, but a Hall of Fame pitcher. But he is very close to becoming a Hall of Fame pitcher with his success in October, with the longevity. He's close. And if you said that to me 2 years ago, I'd call you crazy. But CC is another really good year away from possibly being a Hall of Famer. But tonight's the night for the Yanks. Can they beat Lance McCullers? You think they could. Sonny Gray has got to have his best outing as a Yankee tonight. And on the other side, only fitting that it came on Kirk Gibson's anniversary. Only fitting that Justin Turner hit it. The Red Rocket. The former Met. Only fitting that Justin Turner has rewrote his career with the Dodgers and become one of the best hitters in baseball. The Mets said, nah, we're good. We're going to cut you. And you understand, you have right, you're thinking, there's no spot for him. But my God, if Turner could have stayed, and he could have become the new Mets third baseman. But he did it 19 years after Gibson. And Captain Kirk, you know he was smiling as Turner hit that walk-up, and that fan caught it, and Zach Campbell overreacted. The stupid foul ball guy that I talked about last week got robbed of the homer by Aaron Judge. And I just do not like Zach Campbell. He's always in the spot at the right time. And then he'll show off on Twitter about, like, donating balls to charity and stuff like that and raising money. I just don't like him. Zach Campbell's the guy that, I mean, you're not going to be friends with him. Like, if you're friends with Zach Campbell, maybe it's just because he's become more popular, or maybe he get you free tickets or something. But I am not going to get beers with Zach Campbell. He just doesn't seem like the guy I want to get beers with. I'll learn about getting my head smooth and balls from someone else. I don't need to ask Zach Campbell. I don't need to ask Zach Campbell how he puts a Sharpie and a string in a glove to get balls and his whole strategy. I read his little book a while back. But now I've gotten older and I realize he sucks. But people want to say the Dodgers, man, that losing streak they had, it only made them better. This team is stacked. And already up 2-0, they're throwing Yu Darvish out tonight. Their game 3 starter is Yu Darvish, who won his first game, 5-innings pitch in the playoffs. And if Yu wins it tonight, it's a wrap. The Cubs ain't come back from 3-0. So Kyle Hendricks, it's all on him tonight. But the Dodgers are stacked from A to Z, man. Even with Corey Seager gone, doesn't matter. Adrian Gonzalez gone. They have so many pieces on this team. In the bullpen, on the mound, and in the lineup. And the exuberance of Yasiel Puig and the energy that he provides is so big for this lineup. It's just so big. That spark that he provides and getting the crowd into it, getting the players into it. And you need that in October. You need that guy who's going to hype everyone up. And he's having fun out there. Tell him, call him a showboater, bat flipper, whatever you want. A team needs a personality like Puig come October. And he's the spark plug of the LA Dodgers. And we got a game 4 tonight in the Bronx. We got a game 3 at Wrigley. And I'd love to see the Cubs win one to make this thing interesting, because they are returning home, and we're talking about the defending champs. Say what we want about the Dodgers, how great they are. These are the defending champs, and the Cubs are no scrubs. And you know, they know, this is a must win. And I think they have a shot to win tonight. But, man, the Dodgers seem to be the best team in baseball, and they look like they're going to win the World Series. I think for the best baseball, you want Astros-Dodgers World Series. For ratings, you're going to say you want Yankees, Dodgers, because you want LA and New York. You want a Hollywood version of New York. And let's not count these Yankees out. They came back from 2-0 in the ALDS. They're a fun bunch. They're a rootable bunch. I've said it before. I just hate their fans, and I got to deal with Yankee fans all the time. And that's the part you hate, but the team is fun. They're a good cast of characters. And part of me wants them to win. More part of me wants them to lose. But part of me wants to see them come back and make this a series. I'm looking for good baseball. As much as I don't want the Yankees to win, I'd love to see both these go seven. And it'd be great for baseball. As a baseball fan, that's what you have to root for. And as good as the Astros are and how great of a season they had, the Yankees comeback story is cool. It's a nice story. The youth, the exuberance, all this makes for storylines. And in the industry that we're in, we're made for storylines. We like stories. We don't want just results and games to happen and things to happen. You want stories. And it'll be a story if the Yankees go tonight, tie the series, and game five tomorrow. And it's crazy. Look at prices. Like, if I wasn't recording, I was considering going. Ticket prices were like $40 to get in the game tonight. $50. Yeah. Like, real cheap. Obviously, it's like grandstanding room and grandstand outfit, but $40-$50 to see ALCS game four. I mean, if those are the prices tomorrow, I might just go for $50. The question is here, what do I wear? What jersey? Do I wear my autographed Matt Harvey jersey to the Bronx in the ALCS? Like, what? I might just wear like a Knicks jersey, like just keep it neutral. Another sport. Tim Tebow jersey, maybe. Broncos jersey. But like, I don't know. And like, if I go with a Yankee fan, I can't root for the Yankees. I think I just don't cheer either way. Part of me wants to cheer for the Astros, but Yankee fans are a vile bunch, and I might get beer thrown at me or something. They're like, oh, if I'm wearing Mets gear and I'm rooting for the Astros, something's going to happen. If I'm wearing Astros gear, it's whatever. They're like, hey, you're an Astros fan. Like, it's random. Like, we won't hurt you. Listen, I'm not scared. I'll defend myself, whatever. But if I go, what do I do? That's tough. Because you got to wear gear. I can't just go like in a shirt. And maybe I just wear the taco hat. Everyone loves tacos. No one's going to hate on me for wearing the taco hat. Although I thought that the Fresno tacos were the... If the Fresno's tacos are the Astros organization, I'm 100% wearing that. I don't think they are, though. Let me just confirm. They are. The Fresno Grizzlies are the AAA affiliate of the Astros. I have a reason to wear the taco hat to the Bronx. Oh, I should have wore it today. Not that anybody has a clue that they're the AAA affiliate of the Astros. By the way, they were the tacos for just one game. So that taco thing, it should be their everyday name. It should be the Fresno Tacos. But they're in the Astros organization. So go Tacos, go Astros. That inspired me. Now I need to go because I have an affiliation with the team. Considering I have two taco hats. Now it's like you got to go. I think the Yankees are going to win tonight. I said before the series, Astros in six. So I think it stands. Keuchel and Verlander will beat them again. But I think the Yankees even it up tonight. I think the Cubs win one tonight and make it 2-1. I think the Dodgers win that in six. And I think the Yankees win in, or Astros win in six. Something tells me the Yankees will win another tonight. But we'll see. This is the Jake Brown Show, CBS Radio's radio.com podcast network, iTunes, and Spotify. Before we get into our NBA preview, let's quickly go around the NFL week six slate. Hit me. Which one is this? This is a throwback here. This is the beginning? The first one. Week six. I already went through some of the games. The Redskins get by the 49ers, and the Redskins were my survivor pick. It got interesting. Bethard came in there and looked really good, and he's their new starter, as he should be. Brian Hoyer is one of the worst things to watch. Brian Hoyer is like watching the 400-pound girl dance on the dance floor. You don't want to see it. There's chicken legs and thighs shaking, and it's just things you'd rather not see. That's Brian Hoyer. Beathard looks solid. Thank you, Redskins, for barely surviving that game and winning me my Survivor. Redskins are 3-2, and that division is going to be intriguing, especially if the Zeke suspension stands. Right now it stands, the six-game suspension. But we don't know because there's so many different things going on that we just don't know. The Saints beat the Lions 52-38 in a just wild offensive battle. This game got interesting at one point. It was 41. I believe it was 41-10. Was it 40? It was 40. I think it was 45-10? 41-10? Something like that. And the Lions made this thing interesting. They made it 45-38, and then they threw a pick six, made it 52-38, close it. But a wild shootout. The Saints out of nowhere after 0-2 start, won three straight. They're 3-2. The Saints, as we said, with Mike Carney, are a weird team. We cannot define them. Probably not a playoff team, but that South is becoming up for grabs in the NFC. We talked about the Patriots beating the Jets. The Vikings get by the Packers. The storyline of that game is Aaron Rodgers out for the season. Looks like he's going to have surgery. He's done. And they're going to trust Brent Hundley, man. They're going to trust the UCLA kid to do something. He's fast. He showed signs that he could be the starter. But with Brent Hundley, do you go out and get another quarterback? I think you got to. Colin Kaepernick's obviously not happening. But the Packers are in deep doo-doo now. The Vikings at 4-2. Case Keenum has looked better than everyone thought. And now Teddy Bridgewater is returning to practice. We might see Teddy Ballgame out there pretty damn soon. But the Packers at 4-2 are in a tough spot where, hey, we're still in a playoff race, but we lose our franchise player. What do we do? Case Keenum, got to give him credit. Jerick McKinnon, my guy. Playing well out of the backfield, not only as a running back, but as a receiver. The Vikings are rolling under Case Keenum, and they have a weird decision to break. Do they bring Bradford back when he's ready? Do they have Bridgewater back when they're ready? They have three quarterbacks, and Case Keenum is winning the battle. If you told me that a couple weeks ago, I'd say you need to get psychiatric help. The Bears in overtime. Mitch, you son of a bitch. Wins his first game. The Bears get by the Ravens 27-24, and Trubisky does it in overtime. I like this kid. Didn't have a great game, 113 yards. You know who did? Jordan Howard. Thank you for the fantasy team. No touchdowns, though, but 36 for 167. You have got to be kidding me. Jordan Howard. The Browns, what do? They lose. They're the Browns. Of course they're going to lose. Deshaun Watson, order me the jersey now. I'm ordering it from China as we speak. The guy is a stud, dominating the NFL, running, passing. What doesn't Deshaun Watson do? The Texans are winning that division. I said that before the season, and they're going to do it because they finally put Watson in. He should have started week one. They learned their lesson. He's incredible. He's lighting up the NFL. And I call that from day one. And I don't care. I'm not taking credit for it, but I just love to see it because he's a likable guy. Championship, 4 years at school, has more quarterbacks like Kai, as we talked about, with McMichael. Should have done it, man. He should have stayed. He was cut by the Panthers. And stay in school, kids. Don't do drugs. Stay in school. The Rams, 4-2, beating the Jaguars. The Jaguars stink. And everyone stopped saying they're winning the division. Blake Bortles is still their quarterback. Blake Bortles is absolute trash. Leonard Fournette got hurt. You hope he's okay. But if they lose Fournette, they're 100% done. He is the heart and soul of that team. 21 for 130 on Sunday. But Todd Gurley was right there with him, 116. And Jared Goff didn't have a great game, but the defense did enough. The Rams win. The Rams are 4-2. Will they win that division? It's up for grabs. Seahawks offense has not been good. Cardinals, though, are getting back in there. And the Cardinals, that leads me to their win, 38-33. Score's not indicative, truly, of how good the Cardinals play. The Bucs scored 27 fourth-quarter points and had some Fitz magic go on. Besides him throwing two picks, made it interesting. But Adrian Peterson was the story. 26 for 134, two touchdowns, and Larry Fitz. We got the AARP AAA All-Stars. Palmer, Peterson, Fitzgerald. PPF. CAL. Carson, Adrian, Larry. The old men getting it done. And Adrian Peterson just needed carries. He needed to change the scenery. And he showed us that he still got it. We'll see if he could carry this into next week. But the Cardinals pick up a win, and now they're 3-3. And that could be a huge change in their season, getting a power running back. If Peterson could be the Peterson of old, the Cardinals could have a shot to win the division as well. The Steelers squeezed by the Chiefs 19-13. The Chiefs' offense was stagnant all day. Alex Smith did almost nothing. And the Steelers get by, and the Chiefs with their first loss of the season. There is now no undefeated teams left in the NFL. The Chiefs fall to 5-1. Kind of a boring game, a defensive battle, a sloppy game. But Le'Veon Bell, 32 for 179. The guy is incredible. Antonio, 8 for 155. Antonio Brown is the best receiver in the NFL. And I'm not even going to argue about it. He's better than Julio Jones. He's the best. That's it. Antonio Brown. Welcome. Meet the Browns. Chargers get by the Raiders 17-16. Missed extra point by our guy, Trevecchio. I love his name. The Italian Raiders kicker. But a missed extra point is going to come back and bite you, and it did. And the Chargers got a new kicker. We got a belly-icker. They went 17-16. They won two straight. The Chargers had a couple of games they lost by three or less. Now they're finally closing out these tight games. And they're 2-4. Raiders fall to 2-4. That's been a big story. Derek Carr didn't look good. It looked like he came back from the injury too early. And you worry about the Raiders here. Four straight losses. They've fallen down to earth. They got to be careful because there might not be a spot in the AFC for them to even make the playoffs if they play like this trash. We talked about the Giants. They shocked the world with a 23-10 win. The Eagles beat the Panthers on Thursday night. The Eagles are 5-1. They're right there as the best team in football. You told me that before the season, I call you crazy. But you Eagles fans, rejoice. You're playing well. Just don't think this team's going to go 13-3. They're going to lose a couple here. But Carson Wentz is the real deal, man. And this guy is taking the next step. And now he's got Alshon Jeffrey on board. He's got Nelson Agholor playing well. He's got LeGarrette Blount in the backfield. Watch out for the Eagles. Not a 13-3 team, but could be 11-5. If lucky, if healthy, 12-4. That is your week in the NFL. Whew. A good week in the NFL. But we have about 10 to 15 minutes left before we hand it off to Jason Jackson, Miami Heat courtside reporter, Heat host, Sirius XM host. So before we get to Jason, we will close the first half of the show with our 2017-2018 Jake Brown Show NBA season preview. Hit me with that NBA on NBC. Tonight, it all begins as the Cavaliers face the Celtics in Cleveland, Ohio. Oh, baby! A rematch of the conference finals and a preview of what will be, obviously, this year's conference finals. So that starts me in the Eastern Conference. My 1 through 16 in the East. First off, the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're too deep. When Isaiah Thomas is healthy, their roster is just absurd. That as much as I want to pick the Celtics, now with Kyrie Irving, you can't. And when Isaiah's back, Isaiah, Rose's backup, Dwayne Wade, J.R. Smith, Iman, LeBron, Korver, Crowder, Fry, Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson. Can't even forget Jeff Green, Jose Calderon. This team from 1 to 14 and 15 is stacked. Jose Calderon is their third point guard, right now second until Thomas gets back. But this is a guy who's a former All-Star. I mean, Jose Calderon's your third point guard. Obviously not as good as he used to be. But this Cavs team is stacked. They're going to win the East. They're the number one. Two is Celtics for obvious reasons. These are the top two. They bring in Kyrie Irving. They gave up a lot to get him. A fair deal for both sides. Kyrie's the future. But don't forget Gordon Hayward coming to the Western Conference where he will dominate Kyrie, Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, Marcus Morris, and Al Horford as the Celtics as number two and making that East Finals potentially a seven-game series. Number three is the Wizards. The Wizards took a big leap last year, came very close to going pretty deep in the Eastern Conference Finals. And John Wall, man, he's a star. And if he could just start making three-point, if he could start making shots from deep, which he couldn't do when they needed him to last year, they're going to be good. And obviously you have Jody Meeks now there, Wall, Beal, Porter, Oubre. My only concern is that power forward for the Wizards, Jason Smith, blows. And they have Markieff Morris as well, but that will be the concern. They're bringing Mike Scott as well and Morrissey Gortat. The Wizards are pretty much, I wouldn't say clear-cut, but should be the number three in the Eastern Conference. Number four, the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors are always there. They still have Kyle Lowry. They're not going to do jack-ish in the playoffs, but they have Serge Ibaka. They can shoot the ball at DeMar DeRozan and C.J. Miles, and they got the big fella, Valanciunas, in the paint. I'd say the Raptors are the four, but, I mean, they're not the sexy team. A sexy team, I'd say, is the Bucks, who are I have at the five seed in the Eastern Conference. Giannis is an MVP candidate this year. If Thon Maker could do anything at center, if he could improve, they're dangerous. They have Greg Monroe, you have Chris Middleton, and you have Malcolm Brogdon, who people really love. And this guy is ready to take that next step at point guard. And pair him with some decent guys, and Deli off the bench, and Mirza Teletovic, one of my favorites. And I hear they have some guy named Jabari Parker. The question is, when will he return? Can he come back come playoff time? They're saying February to be safe. But if he's back, we'll see. Jabari Parker for the second half of the Bucks season will be interesting to watch. Number six, the Miami Heat. We talked with Jason Jackson about it. I'm not going to go deep preview. He'll do that. But the Heat had a huge second half last year. I think they'll carry it over, and I think the East is weak enough where they can be sixth. And I predicted Courtney Lee will end up being a member of the Miami Heat. Just a hunch, just a guess, if they'll pick up his contract. Number seven, the Charlotte Hornets. And that'll be contingent on Dwight Howard kind of renewing his career there and kind of having himself be the face of the post for the Hornets. Also, Malik Monk, watch out. A Rookie of the Year candidate if he gets enough minutes. I don't think he'll win it, but Malik Monk is going to be interesting to watch as shooting guard. He's only got Jeremy Lamb alongside him, really, and Batum. But, I mean, this team has depth. Marvin Williams, Dwight Howard, Kid Gilchrist, Lamb, Monk, Batum, Kemba Walker, and Mike Carter Williams. They have a solid roster that I don't see them missing the playoffs down in Bowtime, Charlotte. 8 seed. The Sixers, if all is right, if all is healthy, if Embiid is healthy, Simmons, the Sixers are going to sneak into the playoffs. And a lot of people are saying, I'm going to jump on the train, man. If healthy, Embiid, the feds are out. Simmons, Embiid, Fultz, and Saric. We'll see. But I think this is the year the Sixers could sneak in with only 38 wins. Might get the job done. I got the Sixers at 8. They might be in a tie, right outside looking there is the Pistons. 10 Pacers, 11 Magic, 12 the Knicks. I'll be covering the Knicks all season for the Knicks blog. Check them out at thenicksblog.com. But the Knicks just can't play defense. I said on there they will rank as the worst defense in the NBA. And you need defense to win in the NBA. The Knicks are number 12. I think they will be the fifth worst team in the NBA. They won't have a problem scoring, but they're going to give up more points than they score. The Nets will be right below. Pat likes to think the Nets can win 30 or 35 games. I just don't think they're that good. I do think they have some fun pieces to watch, but eventually that will wear out, and they'll realize DeMar Carroll isn't the second coming of Jesus. So they're hoping for DeMar Carroll to be something special. I think D'Angelo Russell has a very good chance to win Most Improved Player. But I just don't think the Nets' depth is good enough to be very good. At the bottom, the Hawks, 14 and 15, the Bulls. The Bulls traded away everything. They're a rebuilding team now, and they cut Wade. It's weird to see the Bulls as the worst team in the East, but there is a high possibility that happens. Cavs, Celtics, Wizards, Raptors, Bucks, Heat, Hornets, Sixers make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. Going over to the West, the Warriors are the one. And that's clear cut. That's obvious. I don't need to say much more than that. They got the big four. They got Kevin Durant. Steph Curry, Draymond. I mean, I don't even need to tell you what their roster is. The Warriors could win 70 games. Again, they won, I think, 67 last year. They're the number one seed. Say what you want about the Rockets, the Spurs, and the Thunder. The Warriors are the one. Number two, I'll put the Rockets in there. They got Chris Paul. They got James Harden. They have a lot of points. They might score 130. The question is, how will they play defense? I think it'll be good enough to win them like 55 to 57 games, potentially. Rockets at two. Three, Spurs. Spurs are still the Spurs, man. And they still have LaMarcus Aldridge. You still have Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, Pau Gasol, Kawhi Leonard. Don't forget Rudy Gay. They added Rudy Gay, which was a huge addition. I think they're going to be right there at the Rockets of the two. I think they'll just be behind. Maybe in a tie or maybe a game behind. Three Spurs, four Thunder. You have Carmelo Anthony, and on paper, it's a superstar squad, and I think it'll work because these guys know they got to cut some shots. They know who they are. They know what point they're at in their career, and I think they'll make it work. And that roster is not too deep, but it's talented enough to be the four. The five, this is where things get interesting. The Minnesota Timberwolves. After that trade that they made to get Jimmy Butler, that a lot of people labeled as a steal, I think this is the year the Timberwolves progress. I think Wiggins gets better. I think Karl Anthony Towns becomes a star. Don't forget they add a veteran in Jamal Crawford. And they add Jeff Teague. Teague, Butler, Crawford, Wiggins, Taj Gibson, and Karl Towns. That's a playoff team. And that's a team that it'd be a shock if they missed the playoffs. So I have them at five. I have the Clippers still in there at six. The Clippers didn't lose Chris Paul, but they got back a ton of players, and they still have DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin. So don't think the Clippers are going to be terrible now. Don't forget, Danilo Gallinari is now a Clipper as well. So replacing Paul with Gallinari isn't replacing, I mean, it's not replacing a celery stick with a chicken finger, which is the ultimate replacement. But it's still a solid replacement. I don't know where that analogy came from. A little bizarre. But the Clippers still have enough talent to be in the playoffs. They'll be the sixth. The seven. The Denver Nuggets will be the seventh seed. I think the Nuggets progressed in the offseason despite losing Gallinari. You bring in Paul Millsap, who's a very nice player. And you have Millsap and Kenneth Faried along with Jokic. That's a solid front court. And Gary Harris just got paid. It's not Friday night, but he just got paid. And Moutier, look for him to finally take a next step. If he can play some defense and be a little more consistent on offense, Nuggets are pretty good. They're the seven. The eight is Damian Lillard. He's not just a rapper, guys. He's an all-star point guard. I think the Blazers sneak in as the eight seed right in front of the Jazz. Probably a couple games over 500. The Blazers are eight. Outside looking in, the Jazz are nine. You lose Gordon Hayward. I mean, you lose that kind of caliber player. It's hard to make up. The Jazz might be a 500 team, but they'll just miss out. The Pelicans will also just miss out at 10. The Grizzlies got a lot worse. They're 11. They lose Zach Randolph, obviously. The Grizzlies just aren't the same. The Mavericks, they're a young rebuilding team. They're 12. 13, the Kings, another young rebuilding team who I think will be fun to watch, but not good enough. They'll be 13. The Lakers will be another team fun to watch. Part of me wanted me to pick them higher, but I just think the youth there is going to be a lot to overcome. The Lakers, 14, and the Suns, 15. So I think the worst teams in the NBA will go 1, Suns, 2, Bulls, 3, Hawks, 4, Nets, 5, Knicks. In the West, Warriors, Rockets, Spurs, Thunder, Timberwolves, Clippers, Nuggets, Blazers are your playoff teams. And in the NBA playoffs, I hate to go with the chalk, but I'm going Warriors over Cavs. And I hate to sound cliche, but it's the NBA, and we know what's going to happen. The Cavs are too deep. The Warriors are too deep. And remember, Swaggy P's on the Warriors now. Give them a little more depth to what they already have. These are the two clear-cut best teams in the league, and I don't see it changing. Warriors over Cavs in the NBA Finals. They are your 2017-2018 NBA season predictions on The Jake Brown Show. You hate to go chalk, man, but that's what the NBA is. As much as I want to pick the Celtics, as much as I want to say Chris Paul's going to lead the Rockets' depth isn't there, and the Celtics' depth isn't there to contend with the two big boys. when it all comes down to it. Sure, it might be a 6-7 game series in the conference finals, but the best teams will materialize. And Cavs Warriors, I think this year will be maybe even better. I think it goes 7, and I think that's because the Cavs add a lot of depth, and one of those guys, Dwayne Wade. I mean, we're looking at Dwayne Wade as like their third, fourth guy. That's scary, considering the guy can still score and played well enough last year to show you that he can still be a solid guard. Jason Jackson will come up next to preview the Heat, preview the NBA. Mike Carney, former NFL fullback, joins us this week. Former Pro Bowler Randy McMichael, the best tight end in Dolphins history, will join us this week as well. Make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, and on Spotify. I'm going to head out and go watch this Yankees-Astros game. But enjoy Jason Jackson. Enjoy the rest of the show. Thanks, everybody, for listening to The Jake Brown Show. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you next time. Peace.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And we're back on the Jake Brown Show as we preview the NBA season. It's finally here. The drama-filled offseason is over. Carmelo Anthony's traded. LeBron and Wade are reunited. And a guy who knows something about LeBron and Wade being reunited is the man on the line with us now, Jason Jackson, at The Jack Show on Twitter. The Miami Heat TV host, courtside reporter. Been there for 14 years, Jason. You're getting old, man.
You can tell by the hair I no longer have. and this Wade and James gentleman it's talking about, do they still play basketball?
I hear they play in some city in Ohio.
You know, it's the most difficult thing being a Heat employee, a happy, very settled Heat employee, mm-hmm. who is from the great state of Ohio, who spent the winters of 75 to 85 in Cleveland, Ohio. It's a very, very thin rope that I walk upon when we touch upon this subject. Just know.
Well, I mean, what was your initial reaction when you heard the news?
Dwayne has rendered me numb. I try not to get emotional about it anymore. I have no more tears. I've become emotionless. Eventually, Dwayne Wade will find his way back to 601 Biscayne. And I'll be there when he gets there. And I don't mean just coming for a road game. This story's going to end properly, and you can gallivant about the country, or should I say gallivant around the Central Division, as he chooses. He's earned that. And I'll be here when he gets back with a big old hug, and hopefully he'll play some minutes, and then we'll hoist a number 3 up into the ceiling.
Do you think it's the right decision for him? I mean, he joins a guy that he's friends with. He joins a roster that is stacked really from 1 to 15. What do you see his role being? Is he still a star in that lineup?
Brother, he left a team that's going to struggle to win 20 games to the ball club that's going to win somewhere between 50 and 60 games. They'll be the 1 or 2 seed. They're probably going to play for the NBA title. And he's rich. Mm-hmm. It's a really good life. Questionable hairstyle choices for Mr. Wade right now. But we all do what we can to stay young. And he's probably mocking LeBron by growing his hair any way he wants to. So it's this weird little do-si-do in their friendship. In all seriousness, it's the best basketball decision from a what-can-I-get-done-right-now standpoint. He would have been welcomed home like a prodigal son. A hero's parade if he came back to Miami. If it was, you know, another one of the contending locations, you'd understand that as well. Mm-hmm. But you can understand how Heat Nation may feel about this right now. And I don't know if it tarnishes his legacy at all. I think there's still, a banner going up. Might be the first bronze statue that goes up at 601 Biscayne in Miami outside American Airlines Arena. I don't know what's planned for the future. I've been trying to push like a little Miami Heat Hall of Fame, so we'll see if we can get that squared away. But it's going to be fun to watch them combine, probably a little less tug of war in the sense of what they want to accomplish on the floor maybe according to the things that we've now learned about the way Kyrie and LeBron were dealing with some things at the end, I guess unbeknownst to LeBron until the very end. But I don't see it as anything negative for him whatsoever.
Yeah, and that was a whole a big part of the drama-filled off season, and I'm just going to go out on a limb and say the Heat Nation will not be cheering on that team in Cleveland because I can't see that you guys wanting them to do too well, having to deal with them hosting up another trophy in another city, right?
Here's what I know: Heat Nation would love a second round matchup.
Yep,
they'd love that.
Yeah.
No doubt. First round means the team didn't do as well as everybody wanted them to. That's why I'm going ahead and tossing around that second round dynamic. And I believe that's actually not a terrible, realistic goal for this ball club. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're the team that won 30 of the last 41 games next year. I'm with, you know, Shane Battier and Pat Riley, executives inside the Miami Heat organization, who are using the word new. That's kind of the word buzzing around Miami Heat land is new. Is that was then, this is now, and there's a new opportunity. It's a new season. There's an opportunity for breakthroughs from good to great for guys like Goran Dragic and Deion Waiters and Hassan Whiteside and maybe some of our young players move into that space where, you know, they move from developing and good young player to really good NBA veteran. There's just so much room and new additions of Bam Adebayo from the draft and Kelly Olynyk from the free agent signing. It's a neat, different group. And think about the Heat. They're going against the grain. You know, they got all these big guys now standing around. It'll be fun watching that brand of basketball again.
And it'll be fun watching Whiteside go up against Joel Embiid in the regular season after the Twitter war that they had, obviously talking some smack, calling him softy. Funny joke my dad used to say, actually. He said, you know why Dairy Queen couldn't get pregnant from Mr. Softy? Was just something like that was a joke.
Yeah, it was special. No, I had a little salsa on it.
I mean, I have the Heat as the sixth seed in the East. I think the second half will carry over, and I think the East is wide open. Is there a prediction you have on the season?
I got away from that years ago because I'm terrible at it, and I like to be good at things. And so I'll tell you this. The East is wide open from 3 through 8. Mm-hmm. And that's no disrespect to Washington or Toronto. It's just I feel really strongly about, you know, Miami and Charlotte. I really think Milwaukee's always a ball club everybody sort of forgets about. Who's the next team that's going to make the push up? Is Philly really going to do it? Are they going to be healthy enough to earn all this national attention they're getting? Because they have a lot of young players who, you know, were stars at college level, but, you know, haven't really showed us that bright shining star yet at the NBA level, due mostly to health. So it's going to be fun watching ball clubs push and try to make something happen. So we'll see.
How do you see the small forward position playing out with Magruder and Winslow? I mean, who gets the majority of the minutes? Do they split time? How's that going to work?
I think what you're going to see there is a little bit of a surprise. I think Josh Richardson might end up playing more time there as a starter than anybody. He's sneaky long, defensive mentality, so you know Spo loves that. And he's really worked at making sure that he is a reliable offensive player. This ball club doesn't need him to score 20 points, but, man, he pops out there scoring 12 and 15 on the regular. I mean, now we're talking about an offense that's got some firepower and pop. I think, you know, Magruder's done for a little while. He's out indefinitely because of the injury in the preseason. And so now we see an opportunity for either Richardson or Winslow to go grab that thing and hold on to it. I think the early lead goes to Richardson, and then we'll see exactly how this second team, who all has starter-caliber players available now, rolls out over the first couple months.
And I think, in my opinion, I think at some point, if the Heat will do it, Courtney Lee will get traded to the Heat before the trade deadline.
Look at you making things happen. Look at you making that man put his winter coat down. I love it.
Well, I think, one, Courtney Lee's been on 7 teams in 9 seasons. Two, the Knicks have Damian Dotson, who looks like the real deal, just coming from New York. I just watching him play. The kid is a young Iman Shumpert. And I think Lee, if the Heat will take on the $12 million a year, it makes sense because small forward, I think, is their weak spot right now. And you throw him with Richardson out there, you got a three-point shooter, and the Heat will be a very interesting team. Do you think Justice Winslow takes that next step? He was a little inconsistent so far, but I think, in your opinion, do you think he takes the next step this year?
Last year was a lost season due to the body just not, you know, being on his side. And I think that he's done the work to make sure that he's on the floor and sustaining a full season. And I don't think he's injury prone. He's built like a freaking Greek Adonis. He's 21 years old. I worked on his jump shot. Has a lot more arc on it. He is a winning impact player because he's so committed to rebounding and defense. And I think the offense comes to him in a better place and space when he is allowed to create from the defensive end to the offensive end. So he's this really big player who's really sturdy defensively and on the boards, but once he gets that board, he can push it up and run offense. And Spoelstra loves that versatile, he likes to call it the Swiss Army knife style player. And so he's in the right place. The belief is in him. He's got the confidence. He admits he's going to be a little a little butterfly-bellied, you know, on Wednesday night. Probably again on Saturday night in the home opener.
Hassan Whiteside at 17-14-2. Can the guy get any better from last season?
He better. The team needs him to be. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the numbers need to be for him to take that next step, but he is an all-star caliber player. He is a defensive player of the year caliber player, first team all defense caliber player, an all NBA caliber player. For people to really buy in, he might have to be around 20-10 with 3-4 blocks a night, but he can do that. The thing that I've loved about Hassan is the continued commitment to growth. He is truly still going to let you know his emotional status every second of every minute. Mm-hmm. that's going to happen, and that's who he is. He wears all the emotions out for everybody to see. I don't think it deters his play much anymore. And that's a credit to him and Heat assistant coach Juwan Howard and Coach Spoelstra just continuing to allow for goodness and growth. And that's, you know, expected, I think. You know, Hassan's still a young player when you talk about, you know, games played in the league. And so he's at that point now where he does need to make that statement about which group he belongs in. And I think he's motivated and dedicated to being one of the top players in the game and just has to be more consistent night in, night out for the rest of the NBA universe to recognize. But listen, let me tell you who knows. The 29 coaching staffs that have to scheme for him every single night. There's not a lot of 7-foot guys who play old school rim protecting, rebounding first, and can score with great hands and have a little wet Jimmy anymore. And so it is a unique task for every head coach every night. Just ask them when they're game planning for number 21.
And we'll see. We know Khaled last year gave him plenty of keys to success and major keys. We know he was hanging around on Snapchat. You could tell Khaled and Hassan were boys. before we let you go,
they are the best.
Yeah, I mean, we the best, of course. And going to the West Side, how do you see that playing out? Is it Warriors or bust? Do you think the Rockets now have a shot? The Thunder in there? Who do you think's coming out of there?
Just because I wanted to be different on my radio show on SiriusXM NBA Radio, I picked the Rockets. Like if the Rockets got their act together, I think that they have, you know, the experience obviously taking that step forward, and then now the firepower and setup. Now the Thunder are going to cause for some concern because they actually may win the division. Wouldn't that be crazy? Mm-hmm. but the thing that I think that's most important is health, and that's what you can't predict. And then the next thing for the Warriors is maintaining, and they've showed us they can, intensity during the regular season. So it's important that we realize those are human beings and that it's really hard to keep cranking out 65, 70 wins a year. So if that's our measure for them to get there, that's a tough one. They're in the conference finals. Let's not be ridiculous. And they have so much firepower. They could probably even endure one of their top all-stars getting injured and still make their way. Mm-hmm. But the hardest thing to do is to win a title. But one thing that might be harder than that is repeating. And they will not be immune to that difficulty.
Well, I like that pick of the Rockets, and they might score 130. The question is, will they give up 131?
Mercer, they got to play a little D, just a little. Come on, team defense. Let's get it.
And then we'll see how that pairs out. Do you think Celtics Cavs is a 7-game series this year with Kyrie switching over?
I'm not willing to give either one like their spot yet. Mm-hmm. I'm not willing. I mean, that's what we all know. Mm-hmm. I think Washington has an opportunity. Mm-hmm. To muck up the works with the Seeds. I really do. They were a game away from having the best record in nearly 40 years last year for the franchise. And John Wall's got MVP trophy desires gleaming in his eye already. So I even think they take a step forward. In the end, I mean, let's not be ridiculous. If we had to throw some change on it, you're going to go with those two ball clubs. But what a beautiful, true, full, emotional run that would be, and we get it right off the bat. Turner being lucky, not good right there, but it's real. It's absolutely real, and there's going to be, I don't think that becomes physical and raucous. I just know that those games will have an intensity that already was there, and then you got, cats trading sides. That's going to be a whole other level of focus and impact.
Yeah, the NBA setting it up bright and early to open the season tonight. Jason Jackson, The Jack Show on Twitter. You catch him on Sirius XM NBA Radio. And, of course, the Miami Heat TV and courtside. He's all over the place. Enjoy your 30-minute flight, and don't have too many cocktails on that 30-minute ride, Jason.
Come on, man. I don't even know where they hide it.
Appreciate you coming on, man.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.